But we begin with revelations in American sexual identification. A special report recently released by Gallup is its largest ever single study investigating lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender populations in the U.S. The analysis runs counter to common stereotypes of the LGBT community as predominantly white, highly educated, and very wealthy. Gary Gates is distinguished scholar with the Williams Institute at UCLA and co-author of the Gallup Special Report that reveals some surprising data on the makeup of self-identified LGBT individuals. Gary, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thanks very much.
So how was the data for this report collected?
Gallup added a question to their what's called their daily tracking survey. So it's actually now a permanent addition. So this is ongoing data that will be collected. But we analyzed data from interviews conducted from June through the end of September. So it was over 121,000 Americans were interviewed.
Your previous book, The Gay and Lesbian Atlas. Now, this is a detailed, geographic, demographic portrait of gay and lesbian families in all 50 states and in some major urban areas. This drew on data from the U.S. Census. How does the scope of this poll compare to past surveys on sexual identity?
First of all, data on the LGBT population is very, very limited. And so much of what we've relied on in the past has been on census data, which only collects information about same-sex couples. So you don't know anything about single LGBT people. But the Gallup data includes all LGBT people, single and coupled. And I should also add, the Gallup data is LGBT-identified people. So it's just a single question about, you know, whether you identify using those terms. And obviously, there are many other definitions of LGBT in some people's minds.
I guess I want to dig into that. The measure of personal identification or self-identification seems like a rather broad measure. Does it address personal behavior?
Well, that's the point. It actually doesn't address personal behavior. So, you know, in the Gallup survey, we found about 3.4% of adults self-identifying as LGBT. And that's actually in the same range as many smaller surveys when you measure only identity. But if you measure, for instance, same-sex behavior, people who've ever had any kind of same-sex sexual behavior, it's more like 8%. And if you measure people who say they have any kind of same-sex attractions, it's often over 10%. So the measure is what it is. And I like to be clear with people that it is a measure of identity. We might think about sexual behaviors or internal sense of gender when talking about transgender. That's not what's measured here.
Well, let's dig into some of these because the percentage of African Americans, Asians, and Hispanics was markedly higher than whites who self-identified as LGBT. Now, that kind of a surprise to us. Was it to you?
Not really. One of the reasons for that is that there's a different both gender and age mix between whites and non-whites in this country. And we did find in the survey that younger people were almost three times more likely than senior people to self-identify as LGBT. But in racial and ethnic communities, there's a much larger group of those younger people. There's a bigger 65 and older population in the white community, and that group is much less likely to self-identify as LGBT.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the confounding things for me was we often hear the statistic that 10% of people are gay. I have no idea if that's based on real numbers. But why so varied from your results?
Well, that 10% figure, it's referenced to a Kinsey study, though Kinsey never attempted to measure the population of LGBT people in the United States. And the Kinsey Institute is very clear about that. It was largely a political number. Kind of activists used that number in the late 70s as a way to say there's enough LGBT people to matter, but maybe not so many to get people to panic, you know, who were very nervous about having LGBT people. And in fact, it was a very successful political figure. But I think today we have better and more data. And I think, you know, Gallup did a poll last year asking Americans what they thought the percentage of LGBT was in the population. And the most common response was 25%. So clearly, most Americans know someone who's LGBT and already now believe that they're a part of America everywhere you go. And so I think now we're able to put these kinds of estimates out and be more accurate. But again, what's curious is if you do measure behaviors and attractions, you get a number closer to that 10% figure.
Another thing that sort of, let's just say, countered the image, I think, that is often portrayed in American popular culture for the LGBT population, your results found a larger proportion of less educated respondents Yes. identified as LGBT. Now, is this contrary to previous studies?
That is actually different than most previous studies. And again, that's a little bit of an age effect. There are a larger portion of younger people who tend not to be as educated, in part because they haven't gotten the education yet. But it's not simply that. This is the first one of the first surveys that I've seen where you have a higher proportion of LGBT in lower educated groups. So, yeah, that is a new finding.
Well, we can't obviously let these findings go by this week without asking you what it might mean for the election. Any voting preferences here that you could come away with?
Yes. I mean, I don't think it's surprising to hear that the largest group of LGBT people identify as Democrat. Actually, the majority say they're independents or conservatives, but about 44% said they were Democrat, and a similar portion called themselves liberal or very liberal. But again, the majority were moderate and conservative. But nonetheless, 70%, a little over 70%, said they were supporting President Obama in the election. And what was interesting was, and remember, this is data collected over a four-month period, so we can't think of it as the exact right number now. Mm-hmm. But over that time period, the non-LGBT population, Governor Romney was ahead by one percentage point. When you put in the LGBT vote, it flipped it so that Obama was ahead by 2 points. And I think that the takeaway from that is that in a very close election, perhaps in a state like New Hampshire, where the vote might be very, very close, that tilt, even in a relatively small community, could be enough to actually put Obama ahead.
Gary, this is your primary area of research. You've been working on this kind of thing for a long time now. What do you think is going on here? What kinds of trends, culturally or otherwise, are reflected in these new numbers?
It's very exciting to have these kind of data because they do show a diversity in the LGBT community that is much more similar to the diversity of the U.S. population, as opposed to, you know, if you relied on network television for your images of LGBT people, it would be largely fairly wealthy white men who live in cities. And I think these data really change that and show a very, very different picture. Many racial ethnic minorities, larger proportions of self-identification among women, and again, living, you know, all throughout the country. Even the regional differences of the percentages weren't as dramatic as I think people would have expected. So that, yes, they were slightly higher on the coast, but it wasn't a dramatic difference.
Dr. Gary Gates, I want to thank you for your time.
My pleasure. It was great to speak with you.
Gary Gates is Williams Distinguished Scholar at the Williams Institute. That's at UCLA. Along with Frank Newport, he co-authored a new Gallup special report on the percentage of self-identified LGBT Americans. For more on the surprising numbers on that front and a link to all the research behind it, go to wordofmouthradio.org.